Philippians chapter 3. We stopped at verse 17, I think. Brethren, where he says, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark or note them which walk so as you have us for an example. The only example he's asking anybody to follow is his faith. And then he goes on to show you in the next few verses what no faith is. What? This is the most damning part, one of the most damning sections of the scriptures. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. They're not enemies of Christ. You've heard me talk about this. They don't. Christ is their life, or Christ is their personal Savior. But listen to what he says. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly or their appetites, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Now, what does that mean? Many walk, of whom I've told you often, and I'll tell you again, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose God is their appetites, whose glory is in their shame. For they mind or give breath to earthly things. Now I promise you, if you apprehend this scripture, it'll inexorably change the way you live, because you'll begin then to finally understand what it means to carry out your own salvation in fear and trembling. What is it to mind earthly things? Is that to be a geologist or something?
What?
Yeah. Study the earth. I just talked to
work by your senses.
To Chuck and Diane about Christmas. They said next year they're canceling Christmas. You know, we've gone through this before, but in the 3 weeks from December 15th to the first week in January, over 33% of the alcohol that's sold in America is sold in 3 weeks. It's the highest rate of suicide of any other period in the calendar. Why?
Also hard to rock.
What?
Also, it's the worst time for having heart problems show up.
But what's going on? Why should this day cause, or this season cause, all of stress?
Expectations.
Well, it's because you're minding earthly things. It's just goofy. I mean, I don't care. The whole process of one's life is you're always looking towards something. You know, it starts, you know, the first awareness is, man, if I could just walk, if you could think about it, then I'll have it made. If I could just crawl, then I'll have it made. And so it's not, your life is nothing but a series of expectations that when you fulfill them, once you fulfill them, then it just opened the universe for more expectations. And what he's talking about here are those who, in the name of Christ, preach self-realization. How you can be something or get something in the name of God. Because being something that isn't time to, I mean, no matter what it is, your glory becomes your shame. Because if I teach that the purpose of God's birth, death, and suffering and resurrection was in any way to benefit you, then I am an enemy of the cross of Christ. Because we just read all this stuff, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. If you think that the birth and life and suffering and death and resurrection of Christ is so you can be right about something, then you're minding earthly things.
Like the Hanukkah lamp can't be used.
Right, that's a perfect example. This year is the first time, well, I guess it happens seven times every 100 years or something, that Christmas Day and Hanukkah, the first day of Hanukkah, started at the same time, the same day. Remember the Hanukkah lamp, the time when Christ was really conceived by the Holy Spirit. The whole teaching of it is that light of Hanukkah can't be used for anything else. It can't even be used to read Torah. It can't be used to light another candle. It can't be used to warm your hands. It can't be used for anything. And if you use the light for any purpose, it invalidates the light. It's like the Passover sacrifice. It's the only sacrifice for which, if the intent is to be eaten, it invalidates the sacrifice. And if you don't eat it, it invalidates the sacrifice. In other words, if there's any part of you that intends to gain something from any portion of God stuff, then you are those that are minding earthly things, and your glory will be your shame. Now, some of you should know a lot about this by now, because in your minds you have created realities in the name of God that you were convinced were going to come to pass. You used every bit of sorcery and whoredom that you could find to make it come to pass, and it didn't. So your glory, the thing you were glorying in, is now your shame. Does anybody need me to explain that? Everybody understand that perfectly? Many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you again, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose God is their appetites, whose glory becomes their shame, for they mind earthly things. You put that on the list of the least studied scriptures in evangelical Christianity.
Why is this in italics? Not italics, but parentheses.
It's a parenthetical expression.
But that's not really an answer.
You can leave it out if you want to.
I bet not.
No, that's not what a parenthetical
is. So you can read it better.
It emphasizes its importance so that you don't slide over it. Figured it would be.
was thinking this morning that if you have food and clothing to be content, and how beautiful that particular place is, or all this other stuff means nothing.
Didn't even say clothing. It says food and covering. How about the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want?
One morning last week, but I don't remember when, but when it was so cold, I left here and went back and got in the hot shower, and I was overcome with gratitude and appreciation of a hot shower. It was really kind of cool.
One time we were way up in the mountains of India and Afghanistan and all that area, setting up a monitoring system. And I had been gone for a long time because in that particular trip I was in Korea and Japan and then all over down there. And I was attached to the embassy in Japan, so we got back to the embassy and I missed a hamburger more than anything in the universe. And it was like, but that's just stupid. And it was shattered that same, I don't remember if it was the same evening or afternoon or another day there, but it was shattered by. And I knew, and I didn't even believe in God, I didn't believe in eschatology or anything, but I heard something and I knew the end was near. There was in the basement of embassies, there's usually a rec room kind of thing where there's a little restaurant. And there, coming off the blaring jukebox, was, "You ain't nothing but a hound dog." And I knew the end was near.
What's your point?
Anybody that would call that music, in my opinion.
That's why nobody asked your opinion.
I know, nobody asked my opinion about anything.
You notice, this is an aside, but everywhere you went, there's been trouble after you left, like Afghanistan and all these places.
Beirut.
Was. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mine earthly things. And the word there for mind could easily be who love. It's who give breath to, give importance to things that of the senses. And then the contrast of that is total. For our conversation is in heaven. Now, conversation, remember, doesn't mean your words. It means your manner of life. It's the entire, it's not just your conversation. It's the inner mind talk. It's your manner of life. It's how you give breath to whatever is in your universe. Our manner of life is in heaven. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So the point is, our manner of life is not dependent on anything else that's going on in the universe. Nothing. But the only purpose of the universe is to test whether or not you know that. And the test is mercy, because the test defines, while time still exists, what you're giving importance to. Now, think of what Jesus said. He said, "No man comes to me unless he hates his mother, his father, his wife, his children, his aunts and uncles, yea, and his own wife also. Why? Why do you hate? What can be possibly godly about hating? You hate more than anything those labels, because every one of the labels, mother, father, wife, husband, children, carries with it all the baggage of your own templates, your own experience. No man can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and serve mammon. What is mammon? Money. No, mammon isn't money. It's far worse than that. Mammon is a Chaldean word that means anything that you have confidence in. Or you had confidence in. In other words, once you've come into the kingdom of God, you have lost the capacity to have confidence in anything else. Oh, I got to go. I mean, you understand how important burial is for the Jewish community, the Jewish law, and yet in the cost of discipleship. Somebody comes to him and says, come follow me. And they said, I have to go bury my father. Nothing more important than that, than in the Jewish concept. His response was, let the dead bury the dead. Come, you, follow me. These aren't light sayings. They define define your manner of life. And it's not, everybody gets mad at me because I think I'm saying something that they've got doing something to them. This isn't doing anything to anybody. I don't give a crap whether you believe it or not. But if you say you are a believer, if you say you have been born again, and you continue to walk just like everybody else does, then you're a fool. If you continue to have the same concerns about life that you had before you were a believer, then you're a fool. It's not putting the name of God on those concerns, it's having no concerns. Be careful for nothing. And how people twist Scripture to justify. So I got in trouble on an email the other day that I lost. I lost about 35 emails that were in a file called...
Emails do not lose?
No. They were in a file called something. When you change computers, this one had a file in it called Storage for Follow-Up or something like that. Anyway, the email came in a long time ago, but it said that they found a contradiction because I said a believer doesn't need anything, and then a couple days later, I said, I need you. The point of it is, I need you to be a believer. So I can need nothing. What is that? Is that a contradiction? The reason is because I know my mind well enough to know that without community, I would be deceived. Does that then mean, is that a lie? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want? Well, I don't think so. Is that a contradiction? I don't believe it is. I believe it further defines belief. Because belief isn't about the salvation of the isolated self. Belief is not about me, it's about us. But if you're still trying to make it about you, then you will miss the mystery of us. And you'll become an enemy of the cross of Christ. Because by definition, it's tautological that alone belief will become an instrument of self-realization. So many walk, of whom I've told you often enough, tell you again, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, for they mind earthly things. To contrast that, for our manner of life is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus, who shall change or transform our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Why? This sounds... if anybody's had any problems in life, this sounds like the best possible thing there could be. But the reason is you've had some problems, but you haven't dealt with the giants. And all the giants in the promised land are not external. The giants in the promised land are internal. And so you're back there with the 10 apostate spies that are saying, I can't, well, this doesn't make any sense. I can't do that. Because there's giants in the land. What are the giants? What giants? Anybody have any, anybody want to confess a giant? You don't want me to point out the giants, do you? Anybody got a giant that comes to mind? That's not a giant. That's a pissant thing. Overcoming giving breath to finances is a giant. You understand the difference? Anybody else got another giant? Sex? Sex is never the giant. Saying that you're not separate is the giant. Sex is just the manifestation of seeing that you're separate. Anybody else have a giant? I'm doing the Judy dance waiting for Harry's giant. Huh? You're saying an encyclopedia.
Don't throw me in that briar patch.
Nobody else has any giants. See, the
worry
giant...
Worry about the future.
Huh?
Worry about the future.
That's just unbelief.
You're not accepting any of our giants.
And you wonder why nobody wants to play.
Huh? Remember, there's only one vocation, there's only one avocation, there's only one purpose, there's only one thing going on, and everything else is a deception. The only thing that's going on after you say, after you've seen the emptiness and futility of life and all your efforts, the only thing that's going on is repentance. That's it. And repentance, which is really emptying, abandonment, is really is what it is, what it means to present yourself as a living sacrifice. And once I've presented myself as a living sacrifice, once I've seen through all of the tricks that my purpose in life is to be a nice person, or my purpose in life is to be. By the way, that one took me a long time to get through. My purpose in life is to be a good husband or a good father or a good Trinity. Whatever it is. Once you finally see that it's only presenting yourself as a living sacrifice, which is a contradiction in terms, because sacrifice always requires a death, then the only thing that's going on is you're being transfigured. That's all. That's nothing else is happening. And everything in the universe is pointing towards that one event, the transfiguration, in the same way that Christ was transfigured on the Holy Mountain. Now, what is it? That negates everything else. But yet it fulfills everything else. It negates all concerns about what's going to happen tomorrow. It negates all, because I can promise you the only thing that's going to happen tomorrow is resurrection. It negates everything. Present yourself a living sacrifice that you may prove what is that good and test what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And you're not conformed to the world, but you're transfigured by the renewing of your mind. You must, the renewing of your mind comes along, singularly along the lines of the last words of Christ, it's finished. And once your mind can accept it is finished, then no thought can stand against it. So the purpose, it served its purpose. Christ has served his purpose in you as the vessel. He has shut up your mind. He has shut up your mouth. Not just this mouth, but all the mouths of your board of governors. Present yourselves, I beseech you. And he begs, he's begging you. Go to Romans 12, you're not going to believe me. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present or yield your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your highest or reasonable service. That trumps every other thing, is what it says. Reasonable is the highest. It's a more important and more spiritual service than giving your body to be burned. It's higher than the high priest going into the Holy of Holies once a year. It's the highest thing you can do is simply present yourself. And that's why, and it's so easy. There's only one thing that keeps you from presenting yourself a living sacrifice, and that's your mind. Your judgments about life. What you give breath to. Right? So the simplest act that requires neither intelligence, nor cunningness, nor slyness, nor anything. It requires absolutely nothing, and it's universally available to every human being that has ever lived. You present yourself a living sacrifice. The rest is just commentary. And I promise you, every single issue that you've ever dealt with from the day you've been a believer is because you didn't present yourself a living sacrifice. You took something back.
You don't judge the sacrifice that you present. You just present it. God will take care of the details of
it. Well, there's nothing to do. I mean, it's not even in the equation. You as a person, your sacrifice is worthless. You're just a hunk of dust. But it's your highest service because you recognize it's the hunk of dust that can do nothing valuable, but it contains He who is everything. That's why we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency may be of God and not of us. And it's God every single time that something doesn't that every time you try to do something, to be something, to get something done, anytime you try anything, then you have to make the Holy Spirit your enemy. Because if you're still working it, the reward's not reckoned of grace, but of debt. And so you have to make the Holy Spirit your enemy. He has to become your enemy because you are doing something other than presenting yourself a living sacrifice. Is that clear? How long will it last today? How long until you forget? Michael? You're doing the Judy dance.
Really? I was thinking, thank God I have nothing to say. Thank God.
I was thinking about something suddenly came back to me about the, I have to go bury my father and all that kind of stuff. I was thinking about the, somewhere, didn't it talk about where the high priest could be in the morning or something while they perform the...
Yeah,
they couldn't go and do that because of their...
No, they couldn't even mourn for their dead.
So Jesus was basically just expanding that to everybody. If you understood what it means to be in the kingdom of God, then all those things are secondary to that.
But and it's so simple. That's what's so wild. Don't be those that have a form of godliness but deny His ability. That's just silly. See perfectly, Gary?
Yeah, the conundrum part is funny how, like the sacrifice, you're damned if you do eat it, damned if you don't eat it. You know, it's like it throws you back into that surrender.
Abandonment.
Yeah. That's the only thing that's acceptable. Because you cannot do right, period.
Remember, if anybody tells you something that you can do in the name of God, they're a heretic.
That's the same as eating and drinking unworthily.
Yeah.
If you think I'm eating and drinking, and it's unworthily.
That's why the only purpose of preaching is to bring you to the point of abandonment, which can only come after repentance. But if you come here with the slightest issue of wanting to know what to do about something, there's no answer except abandon, huh? We've got. Get ready. Do we have a drum roll?
Kevin's
getting ready to say something.
He's winding up.
The underlying motivation. This is my own righteousness. I really believe that I can get it right.
That's the definition of insanity.
That's an honest lie.
The thing
pull out. Did he say that?
Yeah, pull out.
What did you say?
That's an honest liar. He only believes that he can get it right. He honestly believes.
We're still talking about the conversation we had.
That's great.
Before the holidays.
You repeated the fact that it was an honest lie.
You heard what he said, you'd understand.
Oh, I heard what he said. But it was trumped by what you just said again.
Relax, squeeze your eyes.
That's right.
Imagine.
Now click your heels and you'll be back in Kansas.
Anytime you feel like somebody else is becoming target,
he has to.
Yeah.
He's becoming a living sacrifice, but for the wrong reason.
Give me that bullet. I'll protect the president.
What'd you say?
Terry's made my life so much easier.
Because you're the one that wants to protect the president. One quick word. By definition, a lie is something that isn't the truth. Right?
Mm-hmm.
There's only a truth. Something that's true, it cannot change with time. That's why your father was a liar, and you are a liar, and you're a liar from the beginning. That's all you can do. Doesn't matter how sincere you are, you're a sincere liar.
Yeah, that's the highest man can attain.
It's to be a sincere liar, because when it compares to truth, which means that which never changes with time or circumstance, your little sincerity becomes what it is. Sucking on a menstrual rag.
So the ultimate...
So that's what you just did. You got some dirty blood drawing down your lips.
Yeah, you're drinking beer.
What? You were saying something?
No, I mean, I don't take back what I said. Because I think the picture's about as good as anything the ultimate man can express himself is honest lies. Because if a man really believes, he knows what he's talking about. And that's why the cross is the only path. Because that's what kills you. Destroys your righteousness.
You're so right about that.
Yeah, see, I got a power.
Take it, big guy.